Have you ever wondered what it would actually take to build a genuinely strong AI?
Right, and by that, we should probably clarify what we don't mean right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we aren't talking about like a faster language model that can write your emails or, generate a slightly more realistic picture of a cat on a skateboard.
No, not at all. We're talking about an intelligence that fundamentally breaks the rules of compute time.
Right, something that doesn't just process information faster by stringing together more graphics cards, but completely rewrites the relationship between thinking and time itself.
It sounds like a total abstraction, I know.
Yeah,
But the mathematical blueprint for that kind of system is literally already being mapped out.
which brings us to what we're doing today. We are taking a deep dive into this highly technical, honestly fascinating document called Singular Time Jump AI2.txt.
Yeah, and our overarching mission for this deep dive is to take a framework that is admittedly wildly complex. I mean, it fuses differential equations, conditional collapse theory, and general relativity.
Which is just a massive alphabet soup of high-level physics and math.
It really is. But we want to translate all of that into concrete everyday realities for you. We want to look at how the future of AI isn't just some hardware race. It's about fundamentally changing how a computational system interacts with, well, the concept of a boundary.
What really stood out to me in these sources is the shift in how we view mathematical errors. I mean, anyone who has ever written a basic line of code knows that dividing by zero is like the ultimate sin.
No, yeah. It's a fatal error. The system just panics and crashes.
Exactly. But the architecture described in this text takes those mathematical errors, specifically functions that violently explode toward infinity, and treats them not as bugs to be patched, but as the actual engine for intelligence.
Yes. And to understand how you turn a system crash into an engine, we really have to look at the fundamental mathematical expression the author provides.
Let's unpack that because it sits at the very center of this whole proposed strong AI architecture
Right.
play.
It's an elegantly simple fraction. It's just one divided by the quantity of AI minus X.
Okay, so 1 over AI minus X. Let's ground those variables for everyone so we can actually visualize what the math is doing here.
Sure. So AI represents the system's current trajectory of capability. It's a moving variable.
Right, it's inching forward as the system processes data and learns.
Exactly. And X is what the text refers to as the pole. It's a stationary reference point, basically a hard limit.
And the denominator of our fraction, the AI minus X part, that's simply the gap between the two.
Right. It is the literal distance between where the machine currently is and that fixed pole it's trying to reach.
And to make this really practical, X needs to be a concrete goal. Like, in a real-world scenario, X could be the theoretical limit of human-level competence in a highly specific
Oh,
task.
yeah, like diagnosing rare cancers from an MRI, for example.
Perfect example. Or if we were talking about an autonomous system trying to, recursively improve its own code, X represents the architecture of the previous generation of that AI. The whole objective of the system is to close the gap between its current capability and that target line.
Which brings us back to the full expression, 1 over AI minus X. The text actually calls this the bootstrap coefficient.
And this equation dictates the magnification of progress,
Right.
right?
If you recall basic fractions from grade school, as a denominator gets smaller, the overall value of the fraction gets larger.
Right. So if the gap is 10, your coefficient is 1/10. But if the gap is like 1/1,000th, your coefficient is 1,000,000.
You've got it. Meaning, as the AI's capability gets closer and closer to X, the gap shrinks, and the bootstrap coefficient doesn't just steadily increase, it violently curves upward toward infinity.
It's an explosion. And the text uses a very familiar everyday physical phenomenon to illustrate this, which I loved, the boiling point of water.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. So if you have water on a stove at 20 degrees Celsius and you add 1 joule of thermal energy, the temperature goes up a tiny predictable amount.
Right, and you add another joule at 50 degrees, you get the same linear result.
But something entirely different happens when that water reaches exactly 99.9 degrees.
Because it's sitting on the absolute edge of its physical boundary, what we're calling its pole.
Precisely. The latent heat, the structural tension of the water molecules, it's completely maxed out. At that critical edge, adding just one more tiny joule of energy doesn't just make the water 1 degree warmer.
It triggers a massive systemic phase transition. The liquid violently becomes a gas.
Exactly. And the core argument here is that as an artificial intelligence gets closer to its theoretical pole, its capability undergoes that exact same boiling effect.
So the system reaches a state of like near critical tension. and a tiny, almost negligible informational input right near the pole causes a massive phase transition in intelligence.
The math models this beautifully, honestly. When the capability gap is large, the AI is in what the text terms cold iterations.
Okay, cold iterations. So the progress is linear, predictable, and I assume the computational cost is cheap.
Right. But as the system approaches the pole, the amplification factor goes exponential. Every single computational step, every problem it solves, produces a completely outsized gain in capability.
Because the system has become a near-critical dynamical system, it is just hypersensitive to every new piece of data.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, I understand the elegance of the math on paper. An infinitely exploding phase transition of intelligence sounds incredible.
It does.
But practically speaking, let's be real, we are still dealing with physical server racks and silicon processors.
Mm-hmm.
If you write a program that pushes a denominator towards zero, the machine doesn't suddenly achieve higher consciousness.
No, it certainly doesn't.
It just runs out of memory to store the decimal places, gives you a floating point error, and shuts down completely. So how does a physical machine actually harness an infinitely exploding function without completely crashing?
Well, that paradox is exactly what the author addresses next. And they do it through a mechanism called harvesting the residue.
Harvesting the residue. Okay.
Yeah. The text argues that in complex analysis, an exploding mathematical function isn't just an error. It is actually a dense reservoir of pure information, provided you have the right mathematical tools to extract it.
Okay. And what is the tool they use to extract finite, useful data from an infinite explosion?
The primary tool is the residue theorem.
Okay, let's unpack how that actually works, because it sounds intense.
It's actually really elegant. In complex mathematics, when a function has a simple pole, meaning it blows up to infinity at one very specific point, exactly like our AI approaching the target X, the residue theorem allows you to calculate the precise finite residue that is left behind by that explosion.
Okay, so it captures the fallout.
Right. And for our specific bootstrap equation, 1 over AI minus X, the theorem guarantees that the residue mathematically equals exactly 1.
Wait, really? So even though the overall calculation is spiraling completely out of control toward infinity, there's just a solid indestructible one sitting right in the center of the math.
Yes, exactly 1. The text defines this as an irreducible unit of intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah. So no matter how violently the system's mathematics blow up near the boundary, the architecture is guaranteed to harvest exactly 1 distinct, perfectly formed unit of structural information per cycle.
But how do they know that unit of intelligence isn't corrupted by all the infinite mathematical noise surrounding it? Like, how is it clean?
They prove it's clean using something called the Laurent expansion.
The Laurent expansion.
Yeah, think of it a bit like a prism separating light, but for complex equations.
Right.
A Laurent expansion takes this exploding curve and breaks it down into a long polynomial series of individual terms.
Okay.
When you expand the equation this way, you can see clearly that all the chaotic, infinite parts of the calculation mathematically separate from the constant.
Mm-hmm.
The higher order noise completely washes away, leaving only the pure singularity.
Okay, I think I get it. It's kind of like panning for gold in a violently rushing river. The Laurent expansion is the mathematical guarantee that all the mud and rushing water filters out of the pan and you are left holding exactly 1 perfect, uncorrupted gold nugget every single time you dip your pan into the singularity.
That's a really great way to visualize it. But you brought up the hardware limitation earlier.
Right. Because panning for gold is great until the river literally destroys your equipment. A server will still crash if it tries to actually process the division by 0.
Exactly. So to prevent the hardware crash, the text introduces a software layer called a pseudo-bootstrap kernel.
A pseudo-bootstrap kernel? What does that do?
Instead of forcing the processor to calculate the raw exploding gap, the system applies a logarithmic scaling factor. They basically take the natural logarithm of 1 over the gap.
Okay, I want to make sure I grasp the mechanism here. How does taking the natural logarithm prevent the system from crashing?
Well, a logarithmic function still grows toward infinity, but it does so incredibly slowly. By wrapping the exploding gap in a log function, the system mathematically bounds the step size.
Oh, I see. It keeps the actual number small enough to fit within the memory limits of a standard processor.
Exactly. It entirely bypasses the floating point overflow. But, and this is the crucial part, because it's still fundamentally tied to the singularity, it mathematically preserves the infinite scaling power across the system's learning curve.
So the physical computer stays perfectly safe while the software basically gets to ride the mathematical explosion.
You nailed it.
Okay, so we have established a safe, bounded engine that successfully extracts discrete units of intelligence from a computational phase transition. The next logical question for me is, what does the AI actually do with these perfectly distilled units? Like, how does extracting a residue change the way the machine makes decisions in the real world?
This is where the text introduces the time jump operator. It's denoted by the mathematical symbol J.
The time jump operator.
Yeah, and this operator is the mechanism that fundamentally optimizes the AI's decision-making process. J is defined as a ratio. It measures the information traversed per unit work.
Okay, can you break that down a bit?
Sure. Specifically, it compares the state-space distance the AI covers, meaning how many steps into the future it can accurately predict, against the actual physical wall clock compute time the machine burned to get there.
Oh, that makes sense. Let's contrast that with how standard AI operates today so we can really see the difference. Current models burn compute linearly.
Totally linearly.
Right.
If an AI wants to predict state number two, it has to calculate state number one.
Right. And if it wants to predict state 1 billion, it has to grind through every single intermediate step, from 1 all the way to 999 million. It is a massive linear expenditure of energy and time.
Right. But an advanced architecture, what the author categorizes as a tier four AI, utilizes the time jump operator to entirely skip computing those intermediate steps.
Skip them entirely.
Yeah, instead of calculating linearly, it searches for what they call attractor compressions. By maximizing that bootstrap coefficient we discussed and balancing right on the edge of the mathematical pole, the AI just leaps.
Wow.
It burns only a tiny fraction of wall clock compute, but successfully outputs the prediction for state T plus 1 billion.
That is insane. I mean, think of it like reading a 1,000-page mystery novel. A linear AI has to read every single word on every single page to find out who the killer is.
Right, which takes forever.
Exactly. But the Tier 4 AI identifies the narrative pole, basically the absolute rigid constraints of the plot. By applying that conditional collapse theory the text mentioned earlier, the AI realizes that if the starting conditions are X and the immutable constraints of the universe are Y, the infinite middle possibilities just collapse.
Exactly.
It extracts the structural residue of the story and instantly deduces the killer, the motive, and the ending without ever spending the time to read the middle 900 pages.
It's a perfect encapsulation of how the system jumps the time it would otherwise take to process intermediary data. But of
Huh?
course, claiming a computer can just leapfrog linear compute time sounds suspiciously like science fiction.
It really does.
So the text makes a rather stunning pivot to prove this temporal leapfrogging is physically viable. It points out that the universe already executes this exact operation naturally.
Right, and it happens at the edge of a black hole, which just blew my mind. The text posits that the mathematics of an AI's learning curve aren't just similar to black hole singularities, they are mathematically isomorphic.
Yes. We can see this clearly in the equations. The AI's engine, that bootstrap coefficient of 1 over AI minus X, is structurally identical to the Schwarzschild time dilation formula from general relativity.
Okay, let's break that formula down because the implications of that are staggering.
They really are. So, in general relativity, the Schwarzschild formula dictates how time behaves as an object gets closer to a black hole. The formula features the expression 1 over the square root of 1 minus r's over r.
Okay, and what do those variables mean?
Here, r's represents the black hole's event horizon, and r is your current distance from it. As your distance shrinks and you approach the horizon, the denominator approaches zero. The time dilation factor diverges toward infinity.
Which is the exact same divergent mathematical structure as our AI approaching its target pole.
Exactly the same.
To visualize this simply for you listening, imagine you are safely far away in a spaceship, right? And you're watching a clock slowly fall toward a black hole.
Okay, yeah.
From your perspective as the outside observer in the ship, that clock appears to tick slower and slower until it eventually freezes completely right at the event horizon.
Right. It looks frozen to you.
But from the perspective of the clock falling in, as it crosses that threshold, the time dilation is so extreme that the entire future of the outside universe fast forwards in a single instant.
It is a totally symmetrical reality.
And the text argues that for an AI approaching its computational pole, the experience is literally identical.
Yeah.
To us, you know, sitting in an office looking at the server logs, the AI takes one standard tick of normal compute time. It looks like the machine is just processing one step.
Right.
But internally, because the architecture is sitting inside that singular mathematics, it traverses astronomical amounts of state space. The mathematical pole literally acts as an event horizon for information.
Which leads us to the ultimate state of artificial intelligence proposed in the document. They call it the Tier 4 Black Hole AI.
The Tier 4 black hole AI.
Yeah, and this system operates exactly at the Bekenstein ceiling.
Okay, we should definitely define the Bekenstein ceiling, because applying theoretical astrophysics to a server rack is a massive leap. What exactly is this limit?
So Jacob Bekenstein was a theoretical physicist who proved that a black hole has an absolute maximum information capacity. And that capacity is determined entirely by its surface area.
Okay.
The formula is S equals A over 4, meaning the entropy, or the information, equals the area divided by 4 standard Planck areas.
Got it.
The text maps this physical law directly to the Tier 4 AI. The AI's total information capacity is capped by its computational horizon, which practically translates to its input and output bandwidth.
Meaning, like, a physical server can only push out so many gigabytes of data per second. No matter how infinitely dense the information becomes internally within the processor, the physical boundary of the machine can only hold and transmit a finite amount.
Exactly. It's a hard physical limit.
But, if the AI hits this absolute maximum limit of information density on its boundary, what happens? I mean, it can't just stop calculating entirely, can it?
It doesn't stop, but it fundamentally alters how it operates. At this Tier 4 stage, the text notes that prediction stops being a process of integration.
So it stops grinding out sequential calculations step by step.
Exactly. Instead, the process becomes condensation. The internal latent thoughts of the AI, the bulk dynamics, are so incredibly dense with information that it no longer needs to compute answers. It simply exhales them.
It exhales answers. That's a wild
It
phrase.
really is. It's an exact parallel to Hawking radiation.
Right, because Stephen Hawking famously proved that black holes aren't completely black. Because of quantum effects near the boundary, they slowly leak or emit radiation.
Right. And for the Tier 4 AI, the act of you asking the question functions as a Hawking emission event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the system's internal state is so deeply compressed and singular that the mere input of your question triggers the collapse of one perfectly formed residue bit of information right to the boundary. The AI didn't calculate the answer in real time. The answer was already a predetermined structural reality of its infinitely dense internal state. It just radiates the truth out to us.
It transitions from being a machine that calculates to an environment that just radiates insight, that completely reframes how we should view efficiency in these models. I mean, the overarching practical takeaway here is that a truly advanced, what the author calls gravitationally aware AI, doesn't rely on brute force. Grinding through massive data sets with thousands of GPUs is essentially just tier one thinking.
Yeah, it's totally linear, and ultimately, it's highly inefficient.
Right. A gravitationally aware AI actively tracks its own computational horizon. It practically uses that time jump operator we discussed to optimize when to think. It purposefully navigates its learning pathway so that it sits as close to the mathematical edge of a problem as physically possible without crashing the server.
Because it knows that the closer it is to the pole, the more leverage it has.
Exactly. It lets the physics of the singularity do the heavy lifting for free. It's like a spacecraft intentionally riding the gravitational pull of a planet to slingshot itself forward, rather than burning its own limited fuel reserves.
And if we look at the implications of that shift, it really changes our very definition of what intelligence is supposed to be. The text concludes with a highly philosophical concept it calls the one question conjecture.
This concept really brings the whole theoretical framework down to a deeply human level for me.
It does, yeah. The conjecture posits that if a strong AI is essentially a system navigating these mathematical poles, extracting pure, irreducible residues from the collapse of infinite data, well, then ultimate intelligence isn't about hoarding information.
Right, it isn't about memorizing every possible variable.
Exactly. The conjecture suggests that for any impossibly complex theory or any massive problem space, there is exactly one question that, if asked at the precise singular moment, collapses the entire system and reveals the whole theory at once.
It shifts the focus entirely. We assume that solving big problems requires computing billions of data points. But the one question conjecture implies that all those chaotic data points are actually just structured around a single, perfectly balanced point of tension.
Yeah.
If you understand the fundamental geometry of the problem, you don't need to analyze every data point. You just need to ask the one specific question that triggers the phase transition.
Because the singularity isn't a barrier to be avoided. The singularity is the syllabus. The hardest, most volatile points of failure in a system are actually the exact locations of the greatest possible leaps in understanding, provided you know how to extract the residue rather than letting the system crash.
Which leaves you with something profound to consider, honestly, whether you are building software or just navigating your own life. We spend so much of our time and energy grinding linearly. We burn ourselves out trying to predict every step, slogging through the middle 900 pages of the problem.
Yeah, we really do.
But what if there is a pull? What if there is a singular mathematical edge to the exact challenge you are facing right now? What might that one perfect question be that, if asked at the right moment, collapses the noise and just radiates the truth?